Good morning.
Good morning.
It is indeed a great pleasure and opportunity for me to be able to share the word with you this morning. I want to thank you for that opportunity. And likewise I'm so grateful for your love, your support, your prayers for the work that we do for the cause of Christ in Belize. We're always grateful to have Brother Jody with us, and we seek your continual prayers. The psalmist says in Psalms 27 verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Lord is my light and my salvation. Again, I bring you warm greetings from Belize, and we trust that this morning's worship will be of encouragement. We thank you, Bill, for the reading of the scripture. And as we would go back there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 through to 12, this one will be in accordance with He will use all sort of displays of power through signs and wonders. He says that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceive those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse. And the Bible says there to love the truth. They refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sent them a powerful delusion so that they will believe, it says, the lie. They will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted, it says, in wickedness. Brethren, he says that they will love the truth so be saved. They will love the truth and so be saved. It brings one question to mind. What is the truth? Where could we find the truth? And this morning I'll be talking to you shortly the importance of obeying truth. And as you would look around, you would find that for many, the truth might be everywhere. I believe that is not in accordance with the scriptures. Some people will tell you that as long as wherever you go to worship, as long as you would use the Bible, and you might have heard the term Bible-based church. And brethren, we are going to talk of obeying the truth. How much do we have love for the truth? Well, I have defined the word truth, and according to the dictionary, it says complying with the command. It says direction or request of, and in brackets it has there, a person or a law. It says submit to the authority of. I have been preaching, I believe, since 2002. And I've heard a lot of statements made. And I remember one that really shocked me, because I believe probably that Sunday morning I have talked of becoming a Christian God's way. And there was a young lady there, and she says, "I'll never go back to that church. I will never go back to that church. These people, they preach that you need to be baptized, and where I have been going for years, never once I've heard of baptism." And the dictionary says to comply with the command. Or I would like to to the authority of, and brethren, that authority is the word of God. I like to use the internet, and I have a program on my computer, and I do this regularly. And the word obey appears about 66 times in the scriptures.
Every time I would do a sermon, I would put a word in there or that word in there, and it tells me how much verses I could find using that word. Let us go to this first point that I have here, the importance of obeying truth. Number one says, to know is to obey. To know is to obey. Again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 9, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Taking vengeance on them that know not God. And they, it says, obey the gospel. For us to be able to, we need to obey. And then the verse also says, obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus in verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. It says, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Two things there. One, we need to know, it says, know not God. For those who know not God. Every morning I would get up very early, and this is not here, this is in Belize. I would get up very early every morning, and I would be out in the yard doing something, and I could tell you that every morning at a certain time that which person would pass by. And these are people that are passing by going to work somewhere. I could tell you that I know them, and that's just because I see them every day, just to say good morning or good evening or good afternoon. I would see them when they pass by. There's a difference in just, you have people that would admit and confess that yes, they know God, or they love God, but how much? Beside there, he also says, obey not the gospel. So we need to be in obedience to the gospel for us not to be punished, he says, with everlasting destruction. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, though he were a son, he says, yet learned he obedience, it says, by things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them, it says, that obey him. He became the eternal salvation unto them that obey him. I have people that would want to think that you could live your life how you want. And if you would realize that, and you would see them coming towards you, that you could say, save me, God. And too often, the religious world will turn to Romans chapter 10 and says that you could just call on God and be saved. But if you would read down more, it tells you that it says, how could you call on the God that you do not know? If that would be true, brethren, we are wasting our time here. We are wasting our life trying to be in straight and strict accordance with the will of God. Let me also tell you, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, it says, and he is the propitiation of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Our whole world. And hereby we know that we know him. Hereby, he says, we know that we know him if, under conditions that we, he says, keep his commands. So that is the first point that we would bring in saying that for us to know God, we need to obey God. And first, and the world passes away. But the loss thereof, he says, but he that doeth the will of God. That is obedience. It says, abides forever. The verse before says, and he is the propitiation of our sins, and not only for ours, it says, or for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. In John chapter 9, had happened here. And this was the statement, it says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, And sometimes you would read this verse for people and they would go off. All of us are sinners. For we know, he says, that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, worshiping God is important. Any man be a worshiper of God, he says, and does his will, him, he says, he will hear. Him, he says, he will hear. And something had happened here, and if you would read John chapter 9, this was when Jesus had gave sight to the man that was blind from birth. And it's quite interesting what had happened here, and some people will tell you, but that was Jesus talking, so you need to be careful how you quote that scripture. But what had happened here, that this man was blind from birth, and Jesus didn't speak his sight to him. He didn't say, see again. He didn't wipe his hands over his eyes and say, you will be able to see from here on. The Bible teaches that Jesus got on the ground. He made mud, put it on his eyes, gave him instructions to go and dip. He was obedient. And going there, he got his sight, and this was shocking to everyone because everybody knew that he was blind. It's not like today that you have people that are professing and saying that they're faith healers. If you read, I would want to tell you all accounts of what had happened. It was no secret. The woman that had a bleeding problem, it was no secret. The man that the brother talked about in the study this morning that he was lowered down. And I was sitting there thinking, you have no better friend than those that would lead you to Christ. But what all that have taken place in John chapter 9, then this start up something for them, because who is he? And this man says, whoever he is, he gave me my sight. The Bible didn't say that Jesus had popped down there and made plain and he prayed, but he said, for we know that God answers not sinners. So he had to be a great man. This man had to be from somebody's great, and that was from God. The Bible there says again, brethren, it says, no, we know that God answers not sinners. It says, but if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he hears. We need to be in obedience to the word of God. Let me tell you. Number two, obey as his written words. In Revelation 22 and verse 18 and 19, John, for I testify, hear it, the word of prophecy of this book. If man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the things that are written in this book. And if take away from the word of the book of prophecy, God shall take away his part, he says, out of the book and out of the holy city and from the things which are written, he says, in this book. We have been commanded not to add to or take from. And I want to believe that there are so many people that don't get the concept of not adding or taking from. There's a lot of books out there that's held highly, some even more than the Bible, I would want to think. But God says for us not to add to or take from. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, you shall not add unto the word I command you, neither from it. The commandments of the Lord your God, he says, which I command you. From long ago, it has been commanded that we do not add to or take from. You know, if you would get a recipe to make a cake, if you would want a recipe to make the Belizean meal at, we have dinner at 12 noon. And Sundays, according to the traditions of Belizeans, we eat rice and beans, chicken, as we talked about last night, potato salad, you don't eat anything else on a Sunday. And if I will come and give you the recipe and you would want to put something else in there, I will tell you, you will not get the Belizean thing. And God had written that we would understand not to add to or take from. And we need to obey in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32. He says, whatsoever things, he says, I command you, he says, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. Now the wise man in Proverbs tells us something there that I like so much, because it says there, it's not working there. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was working. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, it says, every word of God, it says, is, every word of God, it says, is pure. In Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. It says, he's to them that put their trust in him. There are people who do not understand the concept of really putting their trust in God. When there is no money, when there is no food, when they're cutting out the light or the water, when things are not the way that we would want it to be, when we're sick, we wouldn't understand. And Proverbs also says, trust the Lord, it says, with all your heart. I always try to share with the church in Belize that there are times in my life when I really and truly just depend on God. When there is nothing going on. I could remember one Saturday I was home and I was thinking, well, what would happen next? My wife came to the door and she says, it might sound like a story from a book, right? But she says, somebody's looking for your side. She didn't bring a check. But she wanted our services that we do. By that service, there's an income. You could do a whole heap of things in not trusting God. But the Bible says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them, he says, that put their trust in him. And then in verse 6 it says, and it says, add thou not unto his words, lest he prove thee, and thou be found a liar. Every time you have in the religious world where they do not comply with Bible teaching, then that is what they become, liars. That is what they become. Because all you have to do, and I'll come to that, and all that you have to do is to say a sinner's prayer. Some years ago, I had visited my brother in California, and it was surprising. We drove around until finally we found where the Church of Christ meets. So I was sure that I have a place of worship for the Lord's Day. And then they go to some community church there, and they had a service, and I attended because I wanted to see what it was about. And there was one thing in particular that they did that I didn't understand, and I had to get a concept of. They had served communion on a Saturday. You know why? To be convenient to those that might not want to be there Sunday morning. Not willing, brethren, to be able to go in accordance with, that we would not be found to be liars. Let me also tell you, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It says, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, it says, by the Holy Ghost. Man had nothing to do with the Scriptures. In my country, I will tell you something, and I hope it won't be of any offense. But in my country, when sometimes when you go and you teach people the Bible, they tell you no. I met a man one time, and as Brother Jordan said, I said, would you like to study the Bible? And he says, oh, no. That thing you call Bible, no. And then he goes, no offense, then he goes, and some people will believe. kinds of crazy theory about what the Bible is. But the Bible there says, knowing first that scriptures is a private interpretation, there is nothing that only me would know and could know. All of us has that opportunity to have the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Man has nothing to do with it. I did a Bible study one time with a couple, and the husband, I'm sure he had some crazy things about the Bible in his mind, and I turned to that verse and he says, oh, okay, I'm learning now. I finally get what it is. Also, I have here, brethren, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here in Timothy, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. All is given by inspiration of God. And there it says, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. You want to be perfect? Obey his words. Obey as is. Let me tell you, the dictionary defined the word doctrine as a belief or set of beliefs. It says held and taught by a church. More, but I'll stop there. Belief or beliefs, one or more than one, held and taught by a church. That's doctrine. And the Bible shows us, it says, and they, talking about the church, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And when you look around out there, there's all sorts of doctrines. You have Ellen G. White doctrine, you have Joseph Smith doctrine, you have Mr. Russell's doctrine. But I tell you what, the Bible also helps us to understand, and you're not seeing what I'm saying, but I'll go for it. The word reproof means, it says, an expression of blame or disapproval. And it says, and doctrine and reproof, it says even a correction. And it says a change that rectifies an error in occurrence. That is, those are three words that the Bible uses. It says in doctrine, in reproof, in correction. All of us don't know, well, maybe sometimes no one likes to handle the correction. If I would correct you more than one time, eventually you might not like me. I would be right there. And either two things. Either you don't like me, or you would get right what is right. Then it won't be of any offense. But let me also tell you where the Bible will help us to understand. The dictionary will also to help us. The definition for the word instruction, it says, detailed information telling how something should be done. And that's what we have. We have detailed information. You can't go wrong in becoming a Christian. You can't go wrong in how you should live as a Christian. You can't go wrong in how you should worship. For sure, those three things are in full detail, and that is what it says: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Now, let me tell you some common belief that is not in accordance with the scripture. It's not in the scripture. And the first one that I have is sad that you are not exactly with me. He says, some people believe that maybe you come to worship and they go to church. That's a common way of talking, but you don't come to church, you come to worship. Because people live with the idea that the church is the wall that we sit in. That Jesus ain't coming back for no building, he's coming back for people. He's coming back. His people think that you could be just morally good. You give to the poor, and you come occasionally, maybe Easter Sunday and New Year's and Christmas, and that's okay. John says, a worshiper of God. John says, God seek those that worship him. And if we're supposed to go back to church as what I have here, the other one, something that church is church, wherever you go, as long as you go, well, The Church of Christ means too far. I was telling Jody this morning there's a Baptist church near to where you live. I said, Jody, could we just go over there and worship this morning? It's close. We wouldn't have to drive. We could have walked. But the worship that we give to God, God says that it must be in spirit and in truth. Let me tell you something else that is here. Some say, and I tell you, I'll come back to this point, just say a sinner's prayer, and you'll be okay. And they go back to Luke, and they go back to the thief on the cross. But while he was hanging there, I could tell you, he didn't say a sinner's prayer. He didn't even pray at all. He didn't pray. He didn't ask Jesus to come in his heart. And it's always said that the thief is still stealing because you have people that believe that you could just say a prayer and you'd be saved. That is not in obeying God's word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12, the Bible says, even him, it says, whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. But they receive not the love of the truth. They might be saved. He says, for this cause. God, he says, for this cause, God shall send them, he says, strong delusion. Strong delusion, he says, that they believe a lie. That they pleasures, he says, in unrighteousness. I start with a lot of people. And we sit and we read the scriptures and the young man says, but I was baptized as a baby. Brother, that is not acceptable. That is not required. And you know what he said to me? He said, well, I don't have to investigate the Catholic Church. I said, no, you don't have to investigate the Catholic Church. The word said that you need to be immersed. And what people fail to realize in Romans chapter 6, he says, we were therefore buried with him. The act of baptism came in authority after Jesus died. And if Jesus had, we have read when the man was Lord, he said, your sins are forgiven. He's the Son of God. He can do what he had done. Even if the man on the cross had received salvation, even he had accepted Jesus in his heart, even if he had said a prayer, brethren, Jesus has not yet died. Romans 6, the Bible says, we were therefore buried with him in baptism. You have to be buried. Burial is a going down. There is no but if or maybe. He says you are buried. You are raised. There he says you walk in your life. Let me tell you, Paul had an encounter with God, and this morning again they said, people want to hold on to God when there is trouble. When there are troubling times, we know that there is a God. You might have a car that you drive every day, and you will not know where the spare is until you're in trouble. You might even know that there is no spare. And I'm afraid that that is how people want to be with God. But brethren, the Bible talks of sending a strong delusion that they may believe a lie. It doesn't matter how much you would open the scriptures and have them to read and read and try to understand. Let me go on before I hear that buzzer ring. In Silkgrass, we have no buzzer. They say, brother, preach. Delusion according to the scripture, we don't even have a clock in the building just like you. Delusion is describing this in the dictionary. I would so wish that you would be with me up there. Is defined. I'm sorry, as a belief. He says that is not true. That is a delusion. You believe something that is not true. He says a belief that is not true. He says a false idea. And I was making a point, but I get so hyper I forgot what I was saying. Let me go back to Paul. Paul had an encounter with God for 3 days. And he had never been instructed to say a sinner's prayer, was he? In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, he says, arise and be baptized, he says,
wash away your sins, then what?
Call him, he says, on the name of the Lord.
Think about it. If that was the intent of God, Paul could have said a sinner's prayer right there and then and be saved. In Peter, he says, it's a good conscience towards God. He says, baptism now saves you. Brethren, for us to believe a lie, we would be in deep trouble. John chapter 17 and verse 17, Bible says, sanctify them by thy word. He says, thy word is truth. One word, one truth, and one life. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, there's a judge for the one that receiveth not my words. I hope I'm saying that right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 12 and verse 48. And in John chapter 12 and verse 48, the Bible says, he that reject me for that matter, reject me, he says, and receive not my words, had one that judge him, the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And there's a lot of way how people reject God. I don't know how it is here in Brother Brian goes around, but I do a lot of going around. Maybe in your country now it is that it's not okay for you to come to a door and knock and say, from the Church of Christ, and would you want to do a study with me? No, I'm not sure. I don't think so, though. We have that opportunity to believe where we could still just walk up to any house, any door, any tree, anywhere they are, and we say who we are, and we ask for a study and say, sure, we would like to study. Sometimes they see you coming. They run and they hide. One time I could remember, I was driving up to the house and the sister saw me coming. And I could see clearly through the window where she ran for the bottle of pills, and she came to the front door and she was standing there with the pills, and that was saying that I'm sick. And we could find a lot of because. I do not go to worship because of my husband. I do not go to worship because of my children. I don't go to worship because of my neighbor. I do not go to worship because who might sit beside me in worship. And I always tell my wife, and because become the cause. We have a lot of ways in rejecting God. But Jesus says, there is a judge. He says, he that reject me and receive not my words have one that judge him. The words I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. This same word that we do not so care to hear. And the Bible will help us to understand. It says, faith comes by hearing. It says, and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear, the more you know. Let me also tell you, the Bible shows us in Matthew 28, and I'm coming to an end, all right? I'm trying to beat that buzzer. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, and this is one that I believe that we will clearly understand and that we would even hold on to, one that we would call the Great Commission. And Jesus have said there in Matthew 28, he says, and Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore, I hope that we're going. Go you therefore, he says, go you therefore, and teach the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe some things. I'm going to read, man. Teaching them to observe some things. Do you have that in your Bible, man? Oh, he has the same Bible as mine. Jody, do you have that in your Bible? It says, go and teach them some things. Take a look there, brother. Some things. All things. And I'm afraid that you have some that will want to take some and leave some. They want to take some and leave some. Some that are convenient and an inconvenient one you just throw through the door. But the Bible there says, teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. You want God to be with you, be in obedience to his words. That's what he said there. I will be with you under the condition that you be in obedience. Scriptures, he said, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. We would understand it all. Verse there in John chapter, in 2 John chapter 9, and I'm coming to an end. In 2 John chapter 9, and I say 2 John here, 2 John chapter 9, or it's not chapter 9, verse 9. 9 says, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ. Remember now, the word doctrine means, oh, there you are. The word doctrine means teaching. And they, in Acts, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In Matthew that we have just read, Jesus says, go and teach them all things I have commanded. So the apostles were teaching what Jesus was saying. Isn't that right? And then it says there, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, he says, have not God. Is that hard for us to understand? He says they don't have God. So we need to be careful. And I'll show you something else here. He says they do not have God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, and evidently he says he had both the Father and the Son. So when, you know what, brethren and friends, it's high time that we start to obey as is written. And not only to obey, what you have learned, what you know, teaches unto others. No better person than you could teach your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your best friend, your co-worker. Because what you could tell them, I can't tell them. Or how you could say, I can't say. You could look at them and tell them, you need to obey or go to hell. When Brian or whoever else goes to somebody, we have to go and polish our words and fix it, that it sounds good, that they would accept in a nice way. The same thing that you could say, be right or Bible says, repent or perish. He says there, brethren, in verse 10, if there comes to any, he says, bring not this doctrine. Anyone, he says, that comes to you, and Paul says, if we or an angel preach any other, and then just they come to you, he says, and bring not this doctrine, he says, receive him not into your house. And maybe sometimes he will think, maybe because they look good, or they sound good, or they smell good, and, oh yeah, I mean, I'm right. Not bringing inside outside of it, you're still teaching about God. And then the Bible there says, again, then if they come in, he says, receive him not into your house, he says, neither bid him God's peace. Neither bid him God's peace, for he that says is partaker of his evil deeds. My brothers and sisters, anything that is outside God's kingdom, God says is evil. And you know what else he says? He says a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Isn't that right? Anything outside the scriptures, the Bible, he says you partake in his evil deeds. His evil works. We need to be able to obey. There are those that are dying out there. We need to remember Adam and Eve. They had paid the penalty of disobedience. Also, if we could remember Cain and Abel, we can't give God what we want. It's not according to me. It's not according to my feeling. It's not according to how I feel. Worship has nothing to do with you and I. It has to do with God. It is his requirement. It is his worship. If you would remember, remember also beside Cain and Abel, Nahab and Abihu live in the book of Leviticus. The Bible says that they have offered profane and unauthorized fire to God. And they have paid the penalty off. And we want to give to God strange things in our worship. Let me tell you, Moses, Lot's wife, what is so wrong for you just to take a little peep back? And sometimes we become just like Lot's wife, we want to take a little peep back. We need to be able to obey God, we need to worship God in truth. And that could only be found in his word. Jesus said, it will make you free. It will make you free. And I want to remind you that we can't teach you wrong. And in result, you will live your life right. Wrong teaching bring wrong living. Let me go quickly, and this is the last point, number 3. Example of the obedient. There have been some people that were obedient. Noah was obedient. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2, 22, I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. He tells us there in Genesis 6 and 22. Do you have that, Jody? Genesis 6 and verse 22, he tells us something there of the great obedience of Noah. And in Genesis 6, thus did Noah, he says, according to all that God commanded him, he says, so he died. He was in full obedience to God. In Abraham, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 to 19, but I don't want to lose focus on something important that happened here with Abraham. Not only that the father was obedient to God, but the son was obedient to the father. We're living in 2017. We're living in an age where shortly children will be born with teeth. Maybe some years ago the children were born, there was no hair on their head. But we're getting improved and we're getting modern. And children are not obedient to parents today. You could imagine that you have a child and you are getting him ready for a sacrifice and a child wouldn't jump up and run. Where is the sacrifice? He says, God will provide. And God will provide and God will provide. But he was obedient. Beside Abraham, Abel. And Hebrews 11, 4. And let me read it for you because I don't want to miss anything here. In Hebrews 11 and verse 4, the Bible will help us to understand there. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that righteous God testifying of his gift, he being dead, yet speaking. Abel was obedient to God. Brothers and sisters, my encouragement to you from the scriptures is that we continue.
Thus says the Lord.
John says in Revelation 22:14, blessed are they, he says, that do his commandments, that they might have right, he says, to the tree of life, and it may enter in through the gate, he says, into the city. That comes by obedience. In closing, let me repeat what we have said. Number one, says, to know is to obey. Number two, we need to obey as is the written word of God. Nothing more and nothing less. And number three, like faithful men and women of the Bible. In Thessalonians, it says that on his return, he will take vengeance
and them that know not God. And I want to encourage you today, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you have not been added to his body, be saved by way of his church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul says that there is one body. In Colossians 1:18, that body says is the church. Paul again says that he will for Acts tells us that he had purchased the church with his blood. And on his return, he will come back for faithful men and women of his church. I want to encourage you, not a Christian. That word is used widely. Christian, but he's a Christian. Even the man drunk on the street side is a Christian. Christian according to the scripture. We want to encourage you this morning that you to put him on in baptism. Likewise, if you have been a Christian and you would like to have the prayers of the church, we want to encourage you. As together we stand and sing our song of invitation. And I'm sorry, brother, but if it comes here, I gave you the wrong number, but go ahead with that one. Let us stand as we sing this song. And if there's any need of prayer,
coming a child.